to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome to an adventure in history. I'm so excited for our guest tonight.
This is going to be our best show ever.
We dragged her down the street to join us tonight.
It is just down the street, isn't it?
It is just down the street. That's the big tease. She's been all over Astoria, but just moved into a building that used to be a police station. We were just talking about this. But not the police station that we're sitting in
because
right now.
We are sitting in one of, not the first police station, but an early police station.
Yes.
I don't know that was enough hint.
So we have Kirsten Norgard with us, and she, owner of Kitts Apothecary, just down the street in the beautiful new Van Dusen Mercantile, old Robies, old police station, old Hunts. Yeah. So welcome.
Thanks, guys.
We're so glad you're here.
I thought we were going to have her talk first, see if anybody could guess the voice.
Oh. Everyone knows her voice.
Well, that's why I kind of thought.
I just gave it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like a lot of people when you introduce them, they say, oh, I'm happy to be here. And she didn't.
Oh.
I think she's still trying to decide whether she's happy to be here or not. She's a little nervous.
Like, what did I sign up for? They led me into the drunk tank.
They led me into the drunk tank. Yeah. There's bars down here, but not like those kind of bars.
Right.
But there are strange medicines all around from a previous medical exhibit that we had.
We need to share some pictures on social media, I think, so people know exactly what we're looking at in here, because it feels very historic.
It feels like the strangest podcast of all time.
It does.
Just in our location.
It really does. And yeah, you definitely need to share, because, I mean, when you guys brought me down here, I was like, what the?
Down here.
What the hell?
So even the floor that we're on drains because this was the drunk tank.
Yeah, it was designed so people could puke and then it would just
so like, see our table
drain is,
that's perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
There were cots for like 20 around the perimeter of the room.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, in this room.
Yeah. Yeah.
For 20 people.
You bet. It was Astoria.
Oh my goodness. This is a tiny room. That would be terrible.
All right, so you got your word.
I got my word of the day.
We're burning daylight here.
Bring it back. Lost words. Yes, lost words, old words that we're going to bring back into existence. And this one is somewhile.
Somewhile.
It's an adverb.
An adverb.
Not a noun, but somewhile.
Spell it.
It's spelled like some while.
Okay.
S-O-M-E-W-H-I-L-E.
I think that is procrastinating.
Ooh, that's a good one. Do you have any
guess? I always guess first so that you can seem more intelligent than I am.
You know, I don't really have a guess, but it just feels calming and nice. Like, ooh, maybe somewhile I'll go about that business.
That's it. It's some other time. Sometimes.
She just got it right.
Somewhile.
Oh, I'm really old.
Yeah.
We haven't been keeping track.
That's the closest. I don't think anyone's ever gotten it right.
Nobody's ever gotten it right. Wow. So, we have no prize for you. We should have a prize.
So now when you're with Kirsten or me and we say, you know, somewhile, you'll know that it'll probably never happen.
Yeah, no.
Or just some other time. Yeah.
Wow, that was crazy impressive.
That was good.
Does that mean we stop doing this feature now?
That's done.
Somebody won, so.
Some wild, Mac, some wild.
All right. Well, this is not going to be as much fun. I'm sorry for my history highlights. These are the things that happened tomorrow, March 11th. So as always, icebreakers at work or bar trivia or again, if you're on Jeopardy, these might be one of the questions.
Okay.
We don't know. So 1669, Mount Etna in Sicily erupts in its largest recorded eruption, killing 15,000 people.
Ooh.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Who knew there were 15,000 people in Sicily?
Right.
Okay. We got nothing. All right. 1779, Congress establishes the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
I saw that one.
This was almost going to be my history highlight.
It's pretty big. I live in Warrenton, right? So, I mean, that the Warrenton exists because of the Army Corps of Engineers.
They're so important to the Lower Columbia.
Yeah.
So that was why it was going to be, but it was not. You'll see why.
Okay.
1861, the Confederate States adopt a new constitution. And we did a whole show on this, but once again, because I can never say this enough, it was about slavery.
Yes.
They say it right there in their constitution and when they secede from the Union, each state, right. They're very clear. It's about slavery. Okay. Get off my soapbox, Mac. 1989. Bad Boys, Bad Boys, what you gonna do? Cops makes its TV debut.
I saw that one.
I never watched it.
I thought it was interesting that this made history.
No. I mean, I saw, you know, flipping the channel, you hit it, or seeing clips, but I never like, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch the show Cops. So,
but have you ever seen Reno 911?
Well, yes.
So, dude, that's, I mean, so fun.
Right. So there's the spoof of Cops.
Yes.
Yeah. So you watch that one. That's more fun.
Yeah, okay. So, definitely. So you got excited though. Were you a fan?
I mean, it was pretty entertaining. It was, I mean, you got to say, it was pretty entertaining.
And how often did they move around? I mean, was it always in Florida?
Was it in Florida?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just picking on Florida because I like picking on Florida.
Right. I don't know. I don't even know where it was.
I lived in Albuquerque for a year and they did a lot of Cops episodes in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, yeah, no, don't go on that road. That's bad. Okay. That's a bad
Okay. I have a New Mexico connection, so we might need to book you for a second show then because that right there is going to be like a 5-minute conversation sidebar. Okay.
So keep going, Matt. So we got to keep going.
2011, the Fushima, I'm not saying that right, Fushima nuclear disaster.
Oh, yes.
I'm not pronouncing that right. You're not. I'm not going to try. Yeah.
So. Fukushima? All right.
Yes.
That's it. All right. We're going to just like dub that in. Mm-hmm. All right. Suddenly my voice will change as I'm saying that. All right. But I have a tie for the history highlights.
Okay.
So the first one, and I'm not sure which one's more important, so I couldn't choose, so I chose both. 1789. Benjamin Banneker and Pierre-Charles Lafont. Do you know these guys?
Nope.
See, that's a shame because they begin to lay out Washington, D.C.
Oh.
I was going to say the names are very familiar.
Lafont.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other guy, Banneker, never gets any credit.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
So, and did we decide you've never been to Washington, D.C.?
Oh, no, I have.
Oh, okay.
And Kirsten was just there recently.
Yeah. Actually, right? I was just in San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco.
But, okay. Yeah.
Very different.
It's been, yeah.
It is very different.
But, yeah, I do go to D.C. pretty often.
And we may want to talk about that. But my other one is 1941. FDR signs the Lend-Lease Bill, allowing us to provide material support to Great Britain's war effort in return for future use of land for U.S. bases.
Okay.
So, yeah. Very important to World War II.
That's a good. Yep. Both are good.
I couldn't choose. What did I miss? Anything?
You did miss one. March 11th, 1973, the first formal meeting of parents of gays, co-founded by the parents of a gay son, is held in Greenwich Village. And this became PFLAG.
P-flag.
So parents, families, and friends of lesbians and gays, and it's the largest family and ally organization in the United States for the LGBTQ plus.
Sweet. And if I'm misremembering, hopefully they're not listening, but one of my daughter's friends, as her senior project, did a concert fundraiser for PFLAG.
Okay.
And my daughter, strangely enough, sang in with the band on a number of songs.
Oh, that's great.
So.
Well, good. Yeah. It's a large organization.
Indeed. So.
But we have an amazing guest here tonight, and I don't even know exactly where to start, because you and I, even before we brought her down here, you're like, can we bring this up? Can we bring this up?
You can bring up anything.
But let's just start with...
What were you doing in Albuquerque?
You really want to know, don't you?
I was eating sopapillas and green chilies.
Start with Albuquerque and then tell us why you're here, how you ended up in Astoria.
Oh, goodness. Albuquerque, I was there in 1998 to help my aunt, who was not in very good health. And yeah, I just fell in love with New Mexico and the magic of that whole area. And I have dreams of someday living here part-time and maybe living in Santa Fe part-time.
Oh,
that would not be a bad thing.
It would not.
New Mexico has a pull about it.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely magical.
Okay. But Astoria, so again, we do have Kirsten Norgard with us tonight, owner of Kits Apothecary. How did you, is your family from the area? Are you, what are your roots? Are your roots?
So let's go back to 1979, back in the olden days. my parents moved here by way of St. Louis through Denver to here. I was almost born in Canada, like no joke. My dad ended up getting job placement here. He was the gunsmith at Link Sporting Goods for many, many years. And if he would not have gotten that job at Link's, then we would have moved to Canada. And live there. And by we, I mean I was along for the ride and they didn't know. Oh. So my poor mom, they moved here, and I think there were dozens of active canneries, and she had morning sickness and she didn't know. And so she was just, oh, the stench, the smell was so bad, and she just felt so, so sick. And yeah, so hi, here I am. And I just happened to be Scandinavian. So my family's very Danish, and we just fit in.
Yeah.
You know?
So how did he find a job at Lynx? What brought him, you know, in the days before the internet?
And, right, and in the days before the internet.
To come to Lynx?
So he actually had gone to school to be an air traffic controller, and then found out that we have a hereditary version of macular degeneration. And he found out about that diagnosis, and you have to have 20/20 vision to, you know, make sure airplanes don't crash into each other. So he ended up going to trade school for gunsmithing, and it had job placement. And Lynx needed a gunsmith, so.
And how long was he there? Because I remember Lynx. Yeah. It was still in existence when I got here.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He was there for, my goodness, 25 years?
Okay.
Yeah.
It was like the sports place to go to before big box stores.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. You went there for your tennis and your basketballs and your fishing lures. And
and so you guys lived in Astoria.
Yes.
And then you went to Astoria High School, or did what, all of the schools? Yep. So Astor.
Lewis and Clark.
Oh, Lewis and Clark.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Lewis and Clark to AHS, and yep, whole shebang.
So without naming dates, because we never ask somebody how old they are, who are some of your favorite teachers in Astoria High School? Would any long-term listeners kind of remember some of those teachers?
Oh,
and who
definitely
were they?
Definitely.
Why do they stand out for you?
Mr. Dessen, because his wit. I just don't have any words to best describe just how amazing he was. Gus Fennerty, you know. Actually, my husband yesterday had asked me a question about, like, oh, what do you think they're doing on the bridge? And I was like, I don't know, maybe like working on pilings because there's that big crane. And he goes, babe, there's no pilings, this is cement. And he goes, if you didn't know, you could have just told me. And I'm like, then why did I take Latin? Because that's all I learned in Latin class. No offense, Gus, if you're listening. I still remember how to like conjugate some things. But I learned how to story. Oh, sorry, guys, you're going to have to bleep me. But I did. I learned how to just go, well, I'm pretty sure it's this. And yeah, so we had a good laugh, and, you know.
And what subjects were those teachers teaching?
I had Mr. Dessen for AP English, and I had Gus for Latin.
Nice. Latin. Is that cannot still be offered?
I doubt it. I took Latin and German because I just am a nerd.
Strangely enough, my cousin teaches Latin at some girls prep school in New England somewhere, and I hadn't seen her in like 20 years, and we had a family reunion like 20 years ago, and that was the first thing I wanted to ask. I was like, really, Latin? Come on. Well, but it was still being taught 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, for doctors, I could see
exactly.
It's helpful.
I wanted to know the root of the words, and so if you take Latin and German, you can pretty much do that. So
Latin and German can control the world.
Yeah. So after high school, what happened then? What did you decide to do? What what kept you here? Did you stay here?
I went down to Albuquerque for a year, and then I went to Southern Oregon University in Ashland. And then I came back here and I met my husband, and this is just home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you've traveled and you've gone all these other places, you know, it just doesn't hit the same. Also, I am, what's the word? I'm incredibly snobby about architecture. And so I remember even as like a small child telling my mom, like, we'd go places. And I'm like, this is their downtown? Why is it so ugly, mommy? Like, there's nothing pretty on the buildings. These poor people have to live in this ugly, ugly town. And I wasn't going to do that to myself. So I live here.
So you stayed.
Yeah.
That's good. And you met your husband. So you didn't go to high school with him, because he's from the area.
He is. I knew the last name because I had known his cousins, but nope, I had never met him, never heard of him until one day he and some friends came into the place that I was working, and they were like, oh, Thor's got this round. And I was like, no, who's paying me for these drinks? And he's like, no, Thor. And I was like, no, seriously. And then here's this gorgeous redhead who just happens to walk up by me. I was like, are you Thor? He says, yes. And I kick myself every day because I'm like, is that your real name? And now I'm like, oh my God, I said that to him. That's what everybody says to him. Is that your real name? How did your parents know that you were going to be so tall? How did they know that you were going to look like a Thor?
See, the comic book geek in me wants you to say, oh, I prefer Captain America. Sorry.
I actually like Iron Man better, but he was not named after the Marvel character. He's very Norwegian.
Good excellent. Scandinavian name.
Yes. Yes.
So after that, you have decided to stay here, and you've done so much for the community. I don't even know where to start. So actually, let's start with what you're most passionate about with your advocacy.
I guess I'm most passionate about the rare disease community and how that affects my family. Our son was born with a rare medical condition called salt-wasting congenital adrenal hyperplasia, which causes the life-threatening condition of adrenal insufficiency. So for the past 15 years, I've been running a nonprofit, researching, advocating, lobbying, legislating, when something like that hits your family, you don't really have a choice but to get really loud. And so that's what I've done. So that's, you know, hence my trips to DC. We spent a lot of time in Salem lobbying.
So talk a little bit about the disease and what does it do and how did your son first get diagnosed with it?
So thankfully we had an amazing pediatrician named Dr. Rahm. And he's just, love that man. Tristan was my second child, so I knew that something was wrong when he just, things were not right. You know, he was throwing up, he wasn't eating, he was so jaundiced. And so Dr. Rahm had us coming in to his office like every day because he was listening to me and wasn't just like, oh, it's fine. He was like, nope, come and see me every day. And he had actually seen Tristan's condition in one other family, a very long time ago. And so he was like, this might be it. But he hadn't progressed to the point of having it actually show up on any lab tests until a newborn screen came back. And so he stabilized Tristan in the emergency room, and then we went to Portland. Wow. And then it all just happened from there. So Tristan takes medication 5 times a day just to stay alive. And so he's, if you just looked at him, you'd never know. You'd never have a clue. Like some of his friends are just like, oh yeah, dude, I forget. But like,
because he's very active.
He's very sports. Active. He's very athletic. He's very, he's just him. Yeah. Like he's just a happy-go-lucky kid who, you know, if he gets really sick or if he gets hurt or even sometimes too much excitement can really cause an issue. You know, we were in Disneyland and he went downhill super fast because he was having too much fun. And you would never think about that. It's right. Like, oh, you need more medicine because you're having too much fun. What the heck? Right. Like, that's just, it's just bizarre. So our trip to San Francisco was actually to go see some amazing people at a biopharma that I've been working with since 2019 to help get a gene therapy through clinical trials in the FDA. And it's in active trials, and there's some really good outcomes happening. Mm-hmm. So they're in the adult trial right now. Pediatrics will come next. But it was such an amazing trip because these scientists and statisticians and, you know, everybody who's doing all the behind the scenes, rigorous calculations and data, they're in offices and labs. And so they don't get to see the patients. They don't get to see any of that, really. So Tristan and I went to North Carolina 2 years ago to go meet everybody at the lab. And that was really cool. But this trip was all about our daughter, Faith. And they wanted to know what it's like to be the sibling of someone with a rare disease. And she stole that stage.
Oh.
I've never been so proud. I mean, I just sat there in awe as she spoke in front of like 100 of the smartest people I've ever met and just owned it. Her comedic timing is insane. And
I wonder where she gets that from.
Right. I don't know. And, you know, our friend who was doing the MC, eventually he just like handed her the mic and just like sat back. He's like, oh, Faith's got it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It was epic. It was amazing. And it was it was just a really magical time spent with my kids.
So this advocacy, were you a one-person show or were there people that, how do you find other people or are you out there by yourself?
You know, in the beginning, I was out there by myself. But, you know, Tristan was born in 2008 and that's when Facebook launched. And the very first time I ever got to talk to another mom who understood everything, life-changing. And that's how we started Adrenal Insufficiency United. And now, like, our support group, we have over, like, 10,000 people.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, patients, parents, all of these people who are like, oh, my God, you understand? You get it? And so now we have, you know, patient conferences. It's really a big deal when you finally meet people who not only understand your language, but understand the life that you live. And, you know, that worry of just like, I kind of had a little panic attack while we were in San Francisco because I realized that I literally had all of Tristan's medication that we had brought on the trip in my purse. And we were in Chinatown and it was a little bit sketchy. And I was just like, oh my God, what if somebody takes my purse? Why do I have everything? Why didn't I leave some at the hotel? Oh my God. And I just kind of spiraled a little bit and I was like, guys, I think it's time to get an Uber and let's go back to the hotel. Mommy needs a little break. And then I stashed everything where I needed it stashed so that I could continue.
Didn't have it all in one basket.
Yeah, because I just was like, oh my God, why did I do that?
What an amazing thing, though, that not only are you doing what you need to for your son and for your family, but how many other lives have you enriched by that? I thought I was by myself and here's an organization and here's a group of people that have already gone through this or are going through it. And they can give me advice. They can give me a shoulder. They can give me, I'm not alone.
Right.
I mean, you have benefited not just your son, but you've benefited countless people.
Oh, so many. I mean, even just because I know that one thing that you did was, or correct me if I have the story wrong, but you had a medicine put on all of the ambulances.
Yes.
In Clatsop County. Did you take it beyond that? And
yeah, we actually have, so the medication is called Soyucortef and it's an injection, kind of like an EpiPen, only not. It's antiquated. It's like a three-step process. Your hands are always shaking because like if you have to give that shot, it's because somebody's going to die if you don't do it quickly. And it's really terrifying. And I happen to be working at the Wet Dog many, many eons ago. And I had two medics ambulance drivers sitting in my section for lunch. And I just asked them, I'm like, hey guys, what sort of, you know, injectable steroid do you guys have on the ambulance? And they were like, oh, I think we have Soliumedrol. I was like, what? I'm like, do you have Soliumcortef? They're like, no. And that's right when, I mean, I just felt like the ground was slipping away and I was like, okay, well, we've got to do something. And that's why we started AIU is because there's a lot of different ways to become adrenal insufficient. You know, different types of cancers, genetics, like my son, Addison's disease, there's autoimmune. There's a lot of different ways, but everyone's life is saved by the same medication. And so, we've worked, you know, on a state-by-state level, getting bills passed, getting protocols in place. And we actually have quite a bit of the map done now, which is awesome.
I just think it's so impressive because here you are. I see this powerful woman that's so mighty and you're such a great advocate. And like Max said, it's not just for your son. He is the face and the heart for you. But you're doing this and he's doing it. And even you saw your daughter now is also advocating
yeah.
for these other lives. right here in our town. We have this gem. And on top of this, you are still raising these two children, teenagers, still children in our eyes, and you own a business.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's fun. Fun and festivities is what one of my friends always says.
So tell us a little bit about your business, because you're in a beautiful new space.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this has been like the funnest project of my life. When my friends who bought the building said that they needed help with the renovations, I jumped at the chance because... Oh, I love nasty buildings and fixing them up. And it wasn't like it was a nasty building, but you know, it was, that part of the building was 40 years of closed doors and water leaks. And we've really been able to fix it up, and it's really exciting. So if you guys come around, check out the Vandus and Mercantile, because it's amazing. And it's not just me. Like, I'm actually downsizing to the point that I'm only focusing on my medicinals now. And that leads, you know, more ability to fill it up with other local makers and merchants and vendors and artists. And it is such an amazing space.
So in case people don't know where and what the Van Dusen Mercantile is.
Yes.
It's the former.
Former Robey's building. The gigantic building still says Robey's on it because we're working on the signage. But it's not Robey's inside. So you have to come out and see it. It's so amazing. There's so much history. Like Mac was saying in the beginning when we walked in, he's like, this was the police station. I was like, wait, I have the police station. How many police stations did this town have? My God.
You have the second best police station.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
So where do you enter? Because there's multiple entrances still, right?
Yes. Okay. So right now, the entrance that we first started on, that is now, we're just finishing up the renovations in that part. So you're going to enter at 1535 Commercial Street, which is the main entrance. You get to park your car in a parking lot.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then you get to walk through those big glass doors, and it's just, there's so much cool stuff in that place.
How many vendors or different businesses do you have in there approximately?
Oh my goodness. Probably close to 30 now.
Okay. And then are there owners there working as well? How does that work?
No, it's amazing. Because then it gives us a chance to like live our lives. Like I get to go to baseball games again, and it's magic. So what we do is we stock our things, put it into inventory, and the magical unicorn named Ari, who was our showroom manager, she manages the floor. And so it's freedom. You know, and that's what's amazing when we were discussing this whole idea of how to have a business model like this.
That is very unique. I did not realize that's how it works.
Yeah.
So you can buy from Kits Apothecary.
Yes.
Or the Rusty Dahlia.
Yes. Yes. Or Menagerie.
But one purchase.
Yeah. One purchase. And you get to support so many locals with that one purchase.
Yeah.
So we're almost out of time. We could definitely do a two-parter here, but I do want to give time. If somebody wanted to donate, if they were moved, even if their child doesn't have any issues, but they are hearing your voice and the passion there and they wanted to help, how could they send a donation?
We have a website, aiunited.org, and we are happy to take your donation and are very appreciative because that money goes right back into the adrenal insufficiency community.
Thank you. And we're appreciative of what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
We're proud to have you as an historian.
Oh.
Go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.